Hey, you want that to go?
Time for a little table talk about takeouts on the news. You like that alliteration? We've got Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners in the New York Times, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our takeaway sports contributor, joins us this morning. Louise, let's go to business first, and this is also a government story. We're a few hours away from the beginning of a hearing.
Yeah.
And basically what they're looking into in this congressional committee is the government paid for a merger between Bank of America and Merrill Lynch.
The government gave bailout money that helped this merger get done.
And then once the merger was done, they then bailed out the new company that was formed by the merger.
There were two bailouts, and there's a lot of controversy around this. This is going to be a very colorful hearing because you've got four people there with a kind of checkered past. So you've got two members of Bank of America's board of directors who exchanged emails around the time of this second bailout saying things like, unfortunately, it screwed the shareholders. Then you've got Brian Moynihan, who may be the next CEO. People say he's a leading contender, but he was all over the legal decisions at the end of this merger. And then you've also got Tim Mayopoulos, who's the former general counsel and was mysteriously fired. And they released their prepared testimonies ahead. I was reading them last night, and one that really struck me was Tim Mayopoulos's, because he describes how he was fired, which for all those people out there losing jobs is stunning because he was a very senior executive there. He says, the HR representative came in and gave me my severance papers, took my corporate ID card, company credit card, BlackBerry, and office keys. He reiterated I could take nothing with me and my personal effects would be sent to me. He then escorted me to the executive's parking garage. I got in my car and drove home. I was stunned.
We'll see what he has to say.
Luckiest car started.
I'm sure people are waiting with bated breath to see what he has to say in front of the hearing today. That's Louise Story, finance reporter for the New York Times.
We go now to Washington. Todd Zwillick is around the takeout table this morning. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John. Good morning.
So yesterday, Senator Lugar of Indiana, Richard Lugar, huge senior senator, gets up to speak, and he's commenting on comments of his own colleague, his own Republican colleague, Jeff Sessions, talking about one of these federal judge appointments of the Obama administration. Are there cracks in this decades-long, it seems, battle over federal judgeships between the Democrats and the Republicans?
It appears that there may be, John. Lugar was talking about David Hamilton, who is Barack Obama's first nominee to the federal bench. He was nominated back in March to the Seventh Circuit. Jeff Sessions is the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee, and he's trying to lead a filibuster against this guy. Lugar
and called him an activist, called him abusing his power, and really took him to task.
Yeah, he really did. He sort of Sessions went point by point, saying that Hamilton wasn't qualified. He's an activist. He's made rulings against religious prayer in state legislatures. And Lugar came back and went point by point and said Sessions is wrong. He also said we have to get past the sort of politicizing of judicial nominees. And you're right. This goes back decades through the nuclear option fights between Republican and Democratic presidents and Republican and Democratic senates.
We should point out that Lugar has a kind of a personal interest here. David Hamilton is a favorite son. He's from Indiana. But still, if you add this to Lindsey Graham voting for Sotomayor, is it possible that Republicans are maybe losing their consensus over fighting these judgeships?
Well, Lindsey Graham has said that he wants to depoliticize these things. Lugar said that he wants to depoliticize them as well. But I don't think these fights are over because this does go back decades. And I think maybe the next time you see a judge that's not from Richard Lugar's home state, maybe he'll vote with Republicans on this stuff. You know, everybody always wants to defuse these things. But, John, they raise so much money and they make so much political red meat over judicial nominations on both sides. Don't be surprised if it comes back.
Well, this one only comes back a few decades. We want to talk to you about something that goes back centuries. Todd, stay with us, okay?
I will.
There's your takeout from Washington.
Now time for sports. Takeout with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So we're going to talk about a football battle, but it took place off the field. I mean, way off the field.
Rah, rah, rah. Hail to the Redskins. Hail,
that's hail to the Redskins. The next line there is Braves on the Warpath. That's the 1960s fight song for the Washington, D.C. football team. The football team actually just won a court battle to a certain extent over their name, the Redskins. Some people have been trying to get them to change the name from the Redskins, saying it's very offensive to Native Americans. And the Supreme Court decided not to hear this case, essentially letting stand the decision that they can keep that name.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court basically took the laches principle, which is it's an old doctrine. It basically means that they slept on their rights. They slept on their rights to have a and essentially they threw it out on a technicality.
Called it a trademark.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. And so even if they had won, the trademark would have disallowed. They could have still sold, you know, tickets, had players, you know, had a team, the whole nine. They wouldn't necessarily have to had to completely disbar the logo from being used. So I think that's a little misunderstood in this story, is that even if they had won, they wouldn't have basically had a no Redskins team. You wouldn't have had to rename
the team. They wouldn't have to rename the team.
Exactly.
How does this play down in Washington, Todd?
Well, this stuff has been going on for a long time. It's not only the home of the government, but the home of the Redskins. People love the Redskins. I'm not quite sure why at this point, but maybe because they're so bad this year. But Ibrahim is right. They didn't actually rule on whether the name is offensive or racist, but there are other cases that do go to that point. It'll take years, but this could actually come back.
There is another – I'm sorry.
It's the Fighting Sioux in North Dakota.
Right.
Yeah.
There's another case, but also the interesting part is that Justice Samuel Alito, when he was on the Third Circuit, he said the disparaging trademark could be challenged at any time. So there's some dispute that if it had gotten there, then maybe you would have had a little bit more of a robust, vigorous debate about whether that could have been.
And sports is a pivot point for huge social changes in the United States. The color line in baseball, this is probably one of them.
But this is not a final decision on offensive names. It's certainly not offensive names.
Not at all.
In football teams anywhere. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is a Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks so much, Ibrahim.
Good morning.